Hey, hey, hey! You're listening to the Ordinary Radical Podcast.
What's up?
Hey, you're listening to Ordinary Radical Podcast, where we discuss and talk about discipleship and biblical living for everyday life that talks about leadership, discipleship, and mission. What's going on?
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. It's been a while since the last time we talked.
Huh? It has been a summer. It has been a very long time.
My goodness. And it has been blazing hot.
Yeah. Well, today's a nice day, though.
Oh, yeah. It's been real nice. Yeah.
Today. But yeah. Before that, now, if you're in Texas or somewhere where it gets well above the 90s, please forgive us because we are chumps. And the 90s feels like I'm being cooked.
Yep. So I recently went to go watch the movie Toy Story 4.
Oh, okay.
Went to a daddy-daughter day, and it was awesome.
I saw a picture on Facebook of that. She looked like she was having a great time.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. Yeah.
Now, are you one of those... So, Toy Story is sort of a generational movie. So, if you grew up with the four movies, you probably watched the first one whenever you were pretty young.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's kind of like your life.
I know. It was like... Yeah, Toy Story 4 was fantastic. Toy Story 3 was tear-jerking. Oh, my goodness. I was like, oh, my goodness. That's like, I totally get it. Andy. And, so it was pretty neat to be able to share that with my daughter. So
you,
great.
You grew up with Andy then.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's
awesome. Witty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, today, we talk about a lot of different things. Today, we're talking about regrets. Ragrets. No ragrets. We're talking about regrets in ministry and sort of in general. So this is sort of an interesting topic. We're going to spitball some things. You want to jump in, Jonathan?
Yeah. So I guess just because we're the Ordinary Radicals podcast, we want to talk about things that are very ordinary, everyday, kind of nominal things, but in radical measures. So we talk about topics that nobody's talking about. So I guess the question is, why isn't there already articles or podcasts talking about their regrets in ministry?
I'm not sure why there's not a lot of them, because every pastor that I know, and myself, we all have regrets. And for a lot of pastors, that wears us down, that becomes a huge burden in our lives.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason regrets is not spoken about or avoided. So statistics, they said that 90% of the pastors or those who are ministering right now would not be in ministry in the next 10 years or so. And I think part of it, you know, again, there's various different reasons, very different struggles, various different trials, even persecution. But I think a lot of it has to do with regrets. But it's just, you know, it's just hard to talk about.
Yeah, but, I mean, as a pastor, we feel the burden of carrying ministry almost. And we probably shouldn't. I mean, God's in control, but there's this maybe unhealthy vision for me as a pastor that I am in some way bearing God's burden to minister to people, mm-hmm. You know, and really it can become very unhealthy. It can become just, it can wear you down over time for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, again, maybe from a lay congregant level, that they see pastors as, you know, just like Superman, right? They get all the ministry, they do all the ministry, they're counseling, they're carrying the burden of the people. But again, just from a biblical perspective, you know, again, I hold to a dichotomous view, just a physical and non-physical. And I think the emotional component has been so often forgotten. And when we're talking about regrets, it's really the affection of our hearts. And we're talking about guilt, shame, judgment that have felt in the past, years, decades of ministry that so often burdens them. And okay. I think that's a component that just kind of, I want to echo, you know, what you're saying, Brandon.
Yeah, and, you know, pastors, I think we typically feel this burden. But within the general population, your mm-hmm. general Joe Schmo who comes to church, he doesn't necessarily want to feel the regrets. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I see is people sort of avoiding. So let's maybe start with there. There's both ends. Those people that avoid, those people that are that focus and dwell. But a lot of people just avoid regrets. They want to move on. Forgive and forget.
Yeah, I heard that quite a bit. I think part of it, because that's how our society works, you know, if you have something, just move on right away. If there's some kind of hard issue in life, just even, you know, I just recently, or church, a member lost a loved one, and it seemed like it's so fast paced that the person passed away, and then you have to get over it and go back to life, and just talking about even the component, and I think Christians have been influenced by or secular society and say, well, God just forgives and forgets and moves on. And I don't know if that's really biblically faithful expository understanding of how God views regrets.
No, because we need to process. Some of the regret is processing that emotion, and we need to process emotion, but our society doesn't process emotion very well. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a young man the other day, and we were talking about processing an emotion. He was like, I don't want to. If it hurts. It feels bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of our society. The McDonald's, have it, the Burger King's have it your way, but McDonald's is quick, fast food religion.
Yeah.
Fast food spirituality.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, speaking of the emotion that you're talking about, just like, I just don't want to deal with that, so I'm going to avoid it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to feel it. But in reality, we are emotional beings. God created us. I mean, you look at Jesus, and, it said the shortest verse, Jesus wept, which shows us that, Jesus himself had emotion. But I think that as Christians, what's important is that to remember that emotions are great indicators, but ought not to be your dictators. Mm-hmm. And to have a healthy understanding of emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, spiritually, how those components work in our lives. And it's all connected. Actually, we're a very holistic being. And I think that's the reason. If I avoid those regrets, if I avoid those emotions, then it's going to automatically go away.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think, what happens to a society that's always looking for the next thing to make you feel good? Like if that's all you ever do, and we're always looking for the next thing to make us feel good, what happens to that whole huge portion of us that we're not experiencing, that we're not allowing to, emote, or we're not allowing emotion? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I just think we're overstimulized, we're a mosaic information structure, postmodernism that's adrenaline-based
right.
culture, that we're constantly looking for the next high or next, mm-hmm. Activity, next exciting thing. And then I think we are just really emotionally numb in many ways.
Okay.
I think in all those different issues, I look at our church, there's overwhelmed mothers, there are stressed fathers and confused teenagers, and all of them has various different background or circumstance or challenges. But amazingly for us Christians, we know the solution's actually just one, it's easy, and that is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason Jesus is the hope of the nations and the answer, the author and perfecter of our faith that we can look to. But again, I think there's a dichotomized understanding of that, Jesus does that, but again, there's this whole understanding that just seems like not in touch with reality, mm-hmm. With our emotions and regrets. So anyway, I think, again, that's an overarching just view of it. What would you say with that society that we live in?
I know we're getting a little bit off topic, but this does tie back to regret and also processing emotion and stuff. But when we're trying to look forward so much that we refuse to see the past, then not only will we rehash out our past, which means we'll do the same mistakes over and over and over again. Look at failed marriage after failed marriage, but we're not growing or maturing, right? Because we're, like you said, we're worried about what comes next. But there's a biblical basis to look backwards and to understand those mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. I think of a lot of examples. I'm about to ask you. You be pondering an example in your life, mm-hmm. But immediate regrets. I was thinking of a friend of mine, and he went and got a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the classic ragrats thing. He got a tattoo, and he wanted to get something to do with the Bible. And so he came and he showed me this tattoo, and it said, "Thou shalt follow the 12 commandments."
Oh boy,
the word 12. He put 12, and he laughed about it. He thought it was hilarious that he had messed that up. I guess you could add the two that Jesus said, that the greatest two of the commandments.
Oh,
but
man.
But more seriously, what is a regret? What is something in your life that you've really processed and thought through?
Yeah. Yeah, so again, I just want to piggyback something that you just talked about. You know, we as human can never divorce our experience and background from who we are. And in order to overcome some of the things, it's healthy for us to return back and to understand and process, like, you know, how God views us and what God has done on the cross, and how that changes, you know, our future and our destination. And again, I think so often we dwell on those paths and we're not able to move on. And I think that's where a lot of people are at. And so for me recently, that I just needed to just kind of learn and just, you know, honestly, a regret that I have was, you know, I think, you know, those who go to Bible college or seminary hear this term, you know, God first, family second, and then ministry. And I think that's been kind of like almost like a broken record that we have heard. But again, I think personally for me, my regret is that ministry came before family. So it became God, ministry, then my family.
So your priorities were out of whack, and you processed, you looked at that and you realized, this is not how I'm supposed to be living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like, again, you know, always God has been the top priority, starting off the day and ending the day, you know, and spending time in scripture reading and prayer and as a family, doing that. But personally in my life, I know I was younger, early in ministries, part-time working at a church, and, you know, the reality, there's always ministry waiting. You know, part-time is working full-time.
Right.
If you become full-time, you're working all the time. And one of the sad regrets for me was that, you know, I put ministry so much. I was really putting, you know, 65 to 70 hours just in the office. That's not including visiting people at the hospitals or doing sermon prep or, you know, my teaching prep or, you know, commuting back and forth. And I was living in the city, so commute, you know, back and forth took an hour, really. And so, you know, that doing that 6 days a week, actually it was seven because I was working on Saturday as well. And I was a full-time student at the same time. And it just really took a toll on our marriage and our family. And that was a huge regret.
And so you processed that, you realized the error, and you fixed the error. Is that what you're saying? Like,
yeah,
that's the thinking about it.
Yeah.
And this is probably... you know, when we talk about pastors, we talk about regret, we talk about the burdens and even inevitable burnout that can come if we don't fix our errors in our past, right? Mm-hmm. And you had said that, you know, many pastors leave ministry. When I was graduating from Southwestern in Fort Worth, that's what they said, that 90% will leave ministry in 10 years. So maybe we can talk a little bit more about how do we do this in a healthy way?
Yeah. Again, I think, again, even that, you know, it was hard for me, honestly, to face the reality. So I think we need to ask the Lord to give us the courage to face those regrets and hard times. And God uses suffering in our lives so often when we hit rock bottom. Did I say that right?
Rock bottom.
Yeah. I always say bottom rock. So I always have to correct myself. But, you know, for me, that hard lesson, that it was so hard, you know, we need humility for that. So first of all, you know, we have to ask God to humble our hearts. So for me, just learning the lesson, saying yes to ministry is saying no to your family. And it was like, it hit me. I'm just like, you know, for the sake of my family and my wife, you know, it means, you know, saying no and maybe some upsetting some people in the church. But, you know, saying, you know, if I go on a date night, you know, they say there's an emergency and, you know, they will text me. I will always try to prioritize church. But during that time, I'm like, no, my wife is my priority. You can wait for 30 minutes to an hour, you know, not getting something, you know, that is not in place in the gym of the church. You know, I needed to say, no, this is my time with my wife, this time with my daughter. And we're going to play hard, and I'm just solely focused. I'm not answering phone calls. So I need to do that. Yeah, because God taught me that hard lesson. But, you know, I think part of it was hard for me to face it because I was really full of pride.
Okay.
Just like, I already went through Bible college. I went through seminary. I have a master's. I don't need to face this. And just realizing, no, Jonathan, you don't know. And you need to learn this. Through the hard way. And I think God taught me that in my regret.
So part of process, so we've said one healthy way that you need to do is you need to come before your regret, your issue, with humility. Mm-hmm. Drop the pride. Pride. There's nowhere in the church that I can think of that pride is ever helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not. In every way, humility is helpful. Yeah. So we come with humility before our errors, our issues, and we need to process them. One of the things that I have been talking about with students and people is this concept of lament. What is the lament? A lament is you come in your sorrow, your grief, you allow yourself to process pain in a healthy way, where you're just really bluntly honest and authentic. And in the Bible, when we read the laments, when we read Lamentations, it almost comes across as a little bit crybaby. Like when we read it, and that's another cultural thing that men jump on in the United States is man's man, right? We don't cry. Don't be a crybaby. Suck it up. Put some ice on it, buttercup, whatever. Mm-hmm. But really proud of processing my regrets, my shame, my issues, my doubt is allowing myself to feel, mm-hmm. you know? So allowing myself to feel and crying out to God through it. Mm-hmm. You had said something else earlier. You talked about reminding yourself of the truths of God. Mm-hmm. When we read laments and psalms, jump into, did you know almost half of psalms is lament? Yeah, it's pretty
incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And you jump in and you read like Psalm 6 or other psalms or Lamentations. And what the authors do is they're crying out, God, this stinks. This really, it just sucks, honestly. It's bad. My life is bad, this. And then they'll say, but God, you are good and I can mm-hmm. trust you. Mm-hmm. And so allowing yourself to come before God humbly, allow yourself to feel, allow yourself to have emotion, remind yourself of the truths of God, mm-hmm. right? You are not your ministry, mm-hmm. right? Your ministry is not who you are. Mm-hmm. That's not the core of who you are. You are a Christian. You are a child of God, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And just move forward with that. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think again, Lamentation is pretty incredible. Like you said, it's just again, I think there's a side of in the 21st century contemporary evangelicalism that we need to be happy, 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 joy, mm-hmm. joy, joy. And not give enough room for our churches to holistically or, seeing through the whole lens of the whole scripture and the mm-hmm. whole Bible to really practice what the psalmist did. You know, I think about you're speaking Lamentation 3, while the weeping prophet Jeremiah, mm-hmm. You're reading through that and it's quite depressing. You mm-hmm. know, he says, I gnash my teeth on the gravel, on the ground, and the enemy has pierced me as a target. And mm-hmm. I lament in my bitterness, and it's just like you're reading this. I'm like, wow, this is so depressing. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly, like you said, but I remember, I return to you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercy is renewed each morning. Your love never. So even that, interpreting who God is based on our circumstance is probably not the wisest thing for us to do.
Right.
But again, being really just honest, not expressing an unhealthy way by maybe throwing a plate to the wall or, suppressing it, just like, oh, it doesn't exist. Let's act like it's not there. Or let's regress, these emotions, just dump it out somewhere. But really to confess it in a healthy way mm-hmm. by the Psalms and worship and community and the saints and the church and crying out to the Lord. I think again, that's a missing component in our churches that I think we have forgotten.
So in the background right now, you hear my dog barking. That's Hagrid. He's a little bitty animal, and so we gave him a very big name. And I do not regret buying him.
And he is confessing right now.
He's out there confessing his sin.
Yeah,
which is he wants to go outside, and he just has to deal with that. Okay. Honestly. So we talk about lamenting, experiencing those emotions, and it may not come as a lament. It's just you need to experience the regret, the emotion. You need to process it. But how about for people? Some people, they dwell too long. Like there's a healthy process. Some people, it's almost like they enjoy being sad. They enjoy being stuck. And they wouldn't say it that way, but I wonder why people get to there.
Yeah. I think again, when we dwell and abide, I think about, John chapter 15, it says, abide in me, rest in me, remain in me. And again, so often when we're going through suffering or persecution or anxiety or fear, what happens is that that becomes where they solely focus and they're in that. But again, we don't want to do an unhealthy way of just like forgive and forget, you know, just let's move on right away. And but again, constantly as you're reminded of this, like Philippians 4:7-8, do not be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So even that, we know anxiety, the choppy waves of fear is going to come to our way. The response is not when, not, you know, but really not if, but when it comes, that we are responding constantly. Jesus is our companion. Like, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and for him to bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Like, is he your constant companion and friend that you're walking in the midst of this? And then God will give us peace in the midst of that. But again, when we dwell on those incidents and those, you know, regrets, then that will automatically become the overflow of our hearts. So that becomes because we're dwelling, we're meditating on it. And obviously that's going to affect your heart, and that's going to change. Like, yeah, I feel nothing. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to get up. I'm just stuck in bed. And that's, you know, I think like what the Puritans did, right? You know, they went through a lot of suffering, even during Thanksgiving, you know, like we celebrate. It wasn't a very merry, happy time, but what they did, they were like, man, I'm feeling this. But they turned to the scriptures and they dwelled in the scriptures. And they let that, they let the scripture inform their mind, ignite their hearts, that invited their will and warmed their affection and changed their volition. And I think, again, like even that, when we look at the Puritans going through that colonial period that was marked by depression, marked by regrets, marked by hardship, they constantly turned to scripture and dwell in that rather than dwell on their emotion.
Yeah, and you talked about Luther, I think, some time ago, and how his whole process of staying in regret, staying in shame, staying in sin, and how the scriptures actually opened him up to realize there's a freedom found in Jesus. There's a freedom from those issues. So part of the goal is to mature and to move forward, right? A lot of Christians, we get stuck in the same spot, and we just stick there. There's a lot of people who happily say, you know, I have a childlike faith. And maybe we've talked about this before, but God doesn't expect you to stay a child. God expects you to mature. If you're not maturing and growing, you're not growing in your relationship to him. No one wants to stay there in that spot. And so process your regret, you grow, you learn how to move on and when to move on. Let me ask you this. What do you think about a relapse? You know, I'm having a hard time, and all of a sudden then I relapse back to that regret. That's what happens to me. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think God often uses that in our lives, that God wants us to constantly to trust him in the midst of those regrets, to fear him above all, rather than, you know, sometimes regrets is tied in with men. So there's fear of men rather than fear of God, and we know in Proverbs 1:7, it says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So a lot of times, even like the, you know, let's say, you know, spiritual maturity and, you know, discipleship of growth is hindered because we do not have God in the right place. So I think God brings those stuffs at times in our lives to remind us, to test us. And I think in the midst of that, we can go either direction. Either we would say yes to God and then we trust him and grow in that. Or we say, no, I want my own way. And then pride and selfishness would be marked, and then more turmoil and tribulation and suffering is going to come on our life until God forms us more in the likeness of Christ. I mean, God predestined us to do that. So again, I think in the midst of all those trials and regrets and suffering that we face, I think we need to consider pure joy, as James said, right? James 1:7. Consider pure joy, brethren, whatever you face, various trials of your faith, because the testing of your faith is going to produce perseverance. And God uses that so often to allow us to be more conforming likeness of Christ. And I think we don't look at regrets like that. You know, we don't consider pure joy.
And there's a difference between a relapse and a reminder, right? A relapse is whenever I'm going back to the same frame of mind almost that I was. I've relapsed back. that's different than a reminder. Reminders are healthy. You know, what you're doing is you're writing your story. You're writing, that's what your life is. You're writing a story. You don't actually get to go back and cross things out, erase things. Unlike a book, our stories are incredibly dirty and gross at times and stupid at times. And so I want to look back as someone who has, you know, authored this life, who has more maturity, so I can go, and I do this myself. I look back, I remind myself of times, and I go, man, I was a bonehead, you know? And that shows that I've grown. I was a bonehead in that choice. I've really matured since then. So that's your difference between the two, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know how much more we got to say. We're at 25 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Man, time flies.
Time does fly. How about you guys? You know, you have regrets? Do you have issues? I think we all do. So I think our advice is to come before them humbly, to process them, not to dwell too much, to dwell healthily, to seek out maturity in those regrets, in the shame, in the guilt, to seek out a point of growth, because you want to grow from that and learn from that. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of put it together?
Yeah, yeah. And I would say, you know, just, you know, you know, pray about it. A lot of stuff that
the you want us to pray.
You know, I really do think so. A lot of stuff that we regret, or the stuff that causes us most anxiety, that keep us at night, keep us awake at night, we least talk to God about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe you feel like you're trapped in where you're at. You're not alone. There are a whole lot of ministers, leaders, pastors, parents are going through that. You know, maybe find somebody in your small group, maybe in your Sunday school, grab them by the arm and say, would you pray beside me and mm-hmm. pray for me and pray with me? I don't know why I feel alone in this. I'm mm-hmm. filled with regrets. I feel like there's a spiritual fog over me. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to pray before me, beside me, and for me, and with me. Could you do that with me? And,
right.
And just humbly come before the Lord and just put it before the throne of grace. And I think God would take that, and he's going to begin to do an amazing work through that as you have a little talk with Jesus and talk with one another. You know, start there.
Yeah, and maybe this is a good spot to finish. If you're listening and you've been hearing, think about how regret has impacted you. But also know that you've got friends, you've got pastors. Man, they may be in a very lonely spot right now. They may need you to come alongside them and love them well. Mm-hmm. So we just need to keep this in. We were made for community. We need to keep that in mind. The area of shame, the area of guilt, the area of regret is a lonely place. We make it more lonely than it has to be. But you may need to love someone and love them well through their issues too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
We good to go?
Yeah, we're good to go.
Cool. Well, it's been good talking to you guys. And we're going to have to make some more podcasts a little bit quicker for you. I'm sorry. We've been busy. We're both finishing school and doing all kinds of stuff. But, you know, God is good. And, hey, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Subscribe again to the Ordinary Radical Podcast and give us a 5-star review. And we'll be in touch.
You think you're worth a 5-star review?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Don't you think so?
I think you are, too.
What about Hagrid with his confession?
6 stars.
Oh, 6-star. Come on.
He gets the bonus. Yeah. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. All right.
See you.